You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome to The Light Show. My name is Kate DeVries. I work for the Archdiocese of Chicago in the Young Adult Ministry Office. We are the Catholic Church's outreach to people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single, and it is quite a joy to be with you. And I am also here with the director of our office, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
And good morning, Kate. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. How
Great.
Are you?
I'm excited.
Excellent. Me too. It's going to be a fabulous show.
Yeah, we're going to do something very, very special today.
Yes, and a little bit different than what we've done before.
That's right. That's yeah. right. And for those of us who just need a little consciousness raising, this is Organ Donor Month. And there's something special, however, in the state of Illinois, which goes on more than just raising our awareness of Organ Donor Month. There's something that has been established that is really Sabbath Sunday, where we have a focus on the second Sunday before Thanksgiving. And with us today, we have... Secretary of State Jesse White with
Yay.
Us.
Thank you, Father Cusick.
Mr. Secretary, good morning.
Glad to be on board, sir.
There you go. Sir, you can tell he's military.
There
How
you
about
go.
That? And somebody who was very dear to me because we met way back when I was recruiting young men to consider the priesthood. And Father Ed Panic was at Quigley South Seminary. And Ed and I would sit and talk and...
1983.
Oh, my God. That's, you're making me feel real old. I was going to stay away from dates.
1983.
But the reason that we invited Father Panic in today is that he is a donor recipient. And I discovered right before I went on the air today that not only is he a donor recipient once or twice, but Ed, three times.
That is correct.
So what we're going to do is, Secretary, talk to us.
Well, Father Cusick, it's an honor to be here with you. And I serve as the Secretary of State for the state of Illinois, and I run the largest Secretary of State office in the nation.
Wow.
I have 3,700 employees, 138 offices, and 23 agencies. And I'm also the head librarian for the state of Illinois. I have distributed $77 million to 5,000 libraries, and I'm in charge of the literacy program where we distribute $6.6 million a year in support of 205 agencies whose mission it is to help individuals to learn English as a second language, to obtain their GED, and to become better educated and better informed. And I run the Organ and Tissue Donor Program, which here in Illinois has 5.5 million Illinoisans who have signed to become organ donors.
Wow.
However, there are 5,000 people on the waiting list as we speak. Mm-hmm. And each year, about 300 people die because organs have not arrived in a mm-hmm. timely manner. We ask that when you're alive and well, give blood. When you're no longer here, give organs. And when you've done those two things, we've made a positive impact upon society, considering the fact that one person can provide life or improve the quality of life for 25 individuals. Many times we think of a hero as being someone who's helped to extricate someone from an automobile crash,
sure.
save someone from drowning, rescue someone from a fire. Those are heroes. But when you can sign up, become a part of this wonderful and meaningful program called the Organ and Tissue Donor Program, you will have made a positive impact upon society.
And you've given the gift of life.
You have, and I'd like to share with you how individuals have benefited from this wonderful program. My sister Doris wasn't feeling well, and there was not a match within the family. She was in dire need of a kidney, and she put her name on the organ and tissue donor list, and as a result of the generosity of someone else, she got a second chance in life. One of my tumblers, remember the Jesse White tumbling team, was coming from a theater at the Fort City Mall, and he was shot and killed. And as a result of that tragic situation, six individuals received the gift of life.
Wow.
And then a personal friend of mine wasn't feeling well, and she went to the hospital, and she later passed away. And 94 organs were used for transplantation purposes, and one gentleman received the corneas of her eyes so now he could see.
Wow.
We honored a doctor at the Loyola Medical Center. She, the doctor gave her patient her kidney. And then we were at the New Lenox Elementary School in New Lenox, Illinois. And the teacher gave her patient her kidney. So there are a lot of heroes out there.
Sure,
life for individuals within the sound of my voice to seriously consider becoming a part of this wonderful and meaningful organ and tissue donor program.
Secretary White, one of the people who used to come to my Sunday service was John Husar, who was the outdoor editor of the Chicago Tribune. Mm-hmm. This great big man who would have a hard time getting through a regular door. And John was dying, and he needed a liver. And all the regular paths were tried. And all of a sudden, we got up one Sunday and said, we have somebody in our congregation who needs a liver. And unbeknown to any one of us, a young guy stepped up, talked to Mr. Husar, and said, let's see if I can help you. The liver transplant took place, and I went and visited both of them. John was not in good shape. May he rest in peace. But I went to the liver donor, and I said, why did you do this? He looked at me like I was crazy. He said, isn't that what you guys preach every week? Helping people, being out there for life? And I thought, oh, my God, I felt so humbled.
What a man.
That's right. Yeah. You know, but what a line. He's sitting by the side of his bed. He's got an IV drip in him, and he's recovering from major surgery. And he said, isn't that what you preach every week? I thought, yeah.
That's great.
People listen.
Well, you know, we in the industry, when I became the Secretary of State, when you'd come into one of my facilities, we'd ask you, would you like to become an organ donor? And if you'd say yes, we'd ask you to sign on the back of your driver's license.
Yes.
Have two individuals to sign on as witnesses. Then when that moment arrived, there would be smooth transition. But we found out that because of the stress of the moment or the thought of losing their loved one, 20% of those organs were not harvested.
Yeah.
So we went to a new order business called First Person Consent. We have 138 facilities scattered throughout the state of Illinois, where we distribute driver's license, stickers, state IDs, the list goes on and on. And whenever you come in, we'd ask you, would you like to become an organ donor? If you say yes, we'll put you into our database. And if you don't feel like, or you don't want to go to, or don't have to go to the Secretary of State's office, you could go to the telephone and dial 1-800-210-2106, 1-800-210-2106, or you could go to our website, www.lifegoeson.com. www.lifegoeson.com, and sign to become a part of this wonderful program. When you can give someone else a second chance in life, as I indicated
Absolutely.
Before, you've made a positive impact upon society.
Mr. White, can you tell us, we had asked our young adults, we sent out an email, people responded back very generously with a lot of questions, and one of the most popular questions was exactly what organs can be donated. When you talk about tissues being donated, what exactly are we talking about?
Well,
there?
Number one, you're talking about the heart, lungs, pancreas, small intestines, tissue parts, liver, heart,
wow.
corners of your eyes, bones, veins, heart valves, and skin.
Mm.
Wow.
Those are just
mm-hmm.
some.
Okay.
Isn't that amazing? I never was aware of that. That, you know, you always hear about kidney and liver, but then there's so much of us that is a gift to others.
Well, many times I'm in the presence of older people, senior citizens like myself, and they say, well, I don't want to sign up to become an organ donor because there isn't anything of value that can be harvested. And I said, within the body of everyone, we will find some parts that could
sure.
help benefit or help improve the quality of life or give another individual a second chance in life.
Sure. Secretary, we're going to have to take a little bit of a break here. And when we come back, I'd like to hear a little bit more just on how to sign up. Because sometimes, you know, you mentioned it. Let's go over it again. And then Father Panic, my God, three times. And you're here.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
His Eminence Francis Cardinal George and Monsignor Michael Boland invite you to this year's 21st Annual Spirit of St. Nicholas Ball on Friday, December 3rd at the Hilton Chicago. Chair couple Dorothy and Ed Waymer are planning this black tie event, which will feature cocktails at 6:30 followed by a sumptuous dinner in the International Ballroom. Entertainment by the Ken Arlen Orchestra will round out the evening. Proceeds will benefit children served by Catholic Charities programs in Cook and Lake Counties. For more information, please call Jennifer Wolfe at 312-948-6797.
And welcome back to the Light Show with Father Kate DeVries. I'm sorry, Dr. Kate DeVries is Father John Cusick. And special guests, we have Father Ed Panic with us and our Illinois Secretary of State, Mr. Jesse White. And we are talking about the gift of life. We are talking about becoming an organ donor or donating some tissue.
Exactly. Mr. Secretary, that the target group that we work with, we're so privileged to work with, are those in their 30s and 20s. And I was mentioning to your associate before we began today, this is an age group that is highly altruistic. They want to do good. They want to be there for other people. And when you think about it, is there any better good you can do than to give someone the gift of life? And Mr. Secretary, let me ask you this. There's the difficulty sometimes, at least I hear it, when you just go out and you start talking to people and Father Panic, I'm sure you hear it too, that there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of myths out there about organ donation and things that people don't understand. This is a wonderful opportunity, at least for Kate and myself, to clear the air a little bit and clean up some of the myths that are out there and let people know really what the whole thing is all about clearly.
Thank you. In my travels around the state of Illinois, and I talk with individuals and within my facilities, and they say, well, I'm not going to donate my organs because it's going to hurt. Well, we will obtain those organs when you're on life support. Yeah. And after all has been said and done, then those organs will be extracted and used for transplantation purposes. The other thing, too, and that is some people seem to think you can sell the organs. Not in this country. No. You cannot do that. Otherwise, you're in violation of the law. And some individuals think that because they are affluent, a person of means can jump to the head of the line.
Right.
That, too, is a myth. And then your doctor has an obligation to make sure that he provides you with the best of care and that the doctor is not going to give you the short count because of those potential 25 organ and tissue parts.
Sure.
So those are some of the myths that we have to overcome to let the people know that it's important for them to participate in this program. And when they do that, again, it will help another individual to improve their quality of life or give them a second chance in life.
Absolutely.
Another question that was asked is, will the hospital accept your organs if you have a terminal illness before you die? I mean, you know, if you're on the path to death, something has been wrong, so can you still donate organs if you have an illness?
I think that they will examine the tissue parts and make determination as to which organs or which tissue parts are usable.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's all within the realm of the ethics of the healthcare community.
Yes.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. Ed, in your body is someone else's body part.
That's correct.
And, how's that feel?
Well, at one time when there was a woman's body part in there, it felt very weird.
Wow.
And the last donor was a living donor, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That was my younger brother, Bruno.
Okay. Wow. Already.
Yeah.
And Before we began today, Father Panic said it's good to be here in more ways than one.
Yeah.
You know, that's true. It's the gift of life. You know, I think any comments on what you hear the secretary mentioning today?
I think that the whole conversation that we hear is there's a lot of misinformation and there's an apprehension to giving for a variety of reasons.
Sure.
And that's why I think the National Donor Sabbath was established in some ways, that people can not only just raise the awareness of the issues, but also be more altruistic, more giving, being more invited to give of their organs at certain times.
Sure.
You know, to sign the back of their licenses, to have the conversations with their family, to realize that there is a continual way that we can give life because of our technology,
absolutely,
but also because of our faith.
Right. And, you know, and Mr. Secretary, I'd like to, maybe if I can be so bold, is to make a suggestion. Wouldn't it be great on Sabbath Sunday if every usher in every church in the state of Illinois walked up and down and handed people cards that this is the gift of life, and that everybody walked out of their congregation or they walked out of their church on the second Sunday before Thanksgiving, and they had the opportunity to make that decision?
Well, I would hope that they will sign up and leave their card right there at the church so we
pick
them up.
No, that's true. No, that's true.
Because sometimes when they walk out with it in their hands, they may have second thoughts about it. But to sign up is the right thing to do.
Right, but to get it in their hands.
Oh, sure.
You know, I think that because on Sunday, the largest gathering of people in the country are in churches.
Sure.
You know, and not football stadiums.
You're right.
But in churches. And if we can get that information to them, and simply say, all right, here's a pencil, fill it out, and you're not leaving until you do.
I'll be in some churches this Sunday, and that's going to be my next order of business, sir.
There you go. All right.
There
that,
you go.
That would be very, very good.
Now, let me ask another practical question. People talk about signing on the back of their driver's license versus going to the website and signing up. Can you tell us the difference?
No longer. See, when we have a program called First Person Consent, which means if you say you want to become an organ donor, when that moment arrives, there will be smooth transition.
Okay.
The old way, which was to sign on the back of your driver's license, we'd have to confer with your next of kin.
Okay.
And sometimes because of the stress of the moment or the thought of losing their loved one, they may not have let those organs be extracted for transportation purposes. We just believe that the best way to do it, if you say you want to become an organ donor, we want to honor your wish. If you say when you die you want these particular songs to be sung, or you want to be buried at this particular location, or you want a particular minister to preside over your going away. And so it's like a living will.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
Mr. Secretary, you mentioned that those with means are not going to be being able to throw some money around and get to the top of the list. Let's flip it on the other side. Is there any cost involved in donating an organ?
No cost involved at all when you donate your organs. Your only obligation is to your hospital and to your doctor.
Your medical bills.
To the medical bills.
Right.
Other than that, no.
So
won't cost you a dime.
It's a free gift.
It is.
It's a free gift, and someone else has the gift of life.
I think that a family member would feel good about the fact that walking around is a person who has some organs belonging to one of their loved ones as compared to having those organs be sent elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, what
to
about
make sure we want them to be usable.
What about ages? Are there people who would be too old or too young? Or how does this work out medically?
Well, you cannot be too young, nor can you ever be too old.
Wow.
You can only sign up to become an organ donor at the age of 18.
Okay, so you're a consenting adult.
But if by chance your child who is under the age of 18 happens to pass away, then the parents can have those organs used for transplantation purposes. And there was a lady almost 100 years old who gave a kidney to another individual.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Secretary, a little later on in our show, we're going to contact a woman that Kate and I have known, she and her husband, for a number of years, and their second born passed away, may she rest in peace, at 17 months. And one of the first things they did was pick up the phone and to see how they could contribute the organs of their daughter to someone else. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with our Secretary of State, Mr. Jesse White, and Father Ed Panic, the pastor of St. Thomas of Becket in mighty Mount Prospect. There we go.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're listening to Dr. Ronan Tynan, founding member of the famous Irish Tenors. Now you can hear Dr. Tynan in person Sunday, November 21st at the Inspiring Minds, Inspiring Hearts Dinner that benefits the Archdiocese of Chicago's Chastity Education Initiative. That's a Respect Life Office program that brings the empowering message of chastity to Catholic teens and young adults. Dr. Tynan will grace us with a vocal performance and share his inspirational story about how he overcame adversity to become a world-renowned singer, doctor, and athlete. So join us Sunday, November 21st, beginning at 4:30 in the afternoon at Drury Lane in Oak Brook Terrace. Get all the details and register at www.respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355. Come hear Irish tenor Ronan Tynan as she shares how to live life to the fullest.
Show right here on Relevant Radio. We are delighted that you are with us, and especially delighted that today we could cover a topic that is so important to so very many people.
Mr. Secretary, you were mentioning our little song that comes in here at our breaks, That We Might Have Life, and I mentioned to you all too quickly. This song was written for our work in young adult ministry by a gentleman by the name of Mr. Paul French, who was the director of music at Our Lady of Mount Carmel up on Belmont. And what an appropriate song for today, mm-hmm. That We Might Have Life. And here we are gathered around the table here in the studio of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're talking about the gift of life for organ donors. Mr. Secretary, let's focus a little bit more specifically on one segment of our Chicago community. Let's talk a little bit about the African-American community and this whole phenomenon of life and donors and so on and so forth.
I spent a lot of time in the African-American churches trying to encourage the parishioners to participate in this meaningful program. African-Americans are a little bit more than 50% on the list for organs, but yet they participate at a level of about 29%.
Wow.
And I remind them that it's impossible to go to Dominic's food store and buy $50 worth of groceries and you only have $29.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to encourage them to participate in this meaningful program, because one day they may need an organ, or they may know someone else who may need an organ. Who knows? There may be a relative that may need an organ. We want to make sure that there's an adequate supply of organs. And you cannot have a successful transplant without an adequate supply of blood. So I ask that when you're alive and well, give blood. When you're not only here, give organs. And when you've done those two things, you will make a positive impact upon society.
There you go. Now, Father Panic, you mentioned something sort of fascinating to me, and that is there's a flip side to this. We're talking about organ donation, and you're really talking about all of us, as Mr. Secretary has mentioned, making sure we sign up and that we really are a part of this whole program. In particular, that we really become a part of the first-person consent. But you mentioned, you know, there's another side, and that is there are an awful lot of sick people out there. Mm-hmm. So this is not just casual. Can you talk about this sickness side? You've been there.
Oh, yeah. I've been there quite often, too. Just noticing in my own life and the sensitivity that I have to it, the healthcare issues for people, they do walk with a lot of pain in their life, especially people who have to go through hemodialysis if their kidneys fail. That can be a long process.
Sure.
Some people can take well to it and they can last very well on it. But there is a downside to it. You know, your diet is restricted. Your ability and your lifestyle is also restricted. You have a variety of different ways of not being able to participate in the fullness of life. And that goes for a lot of other, you know, diseases that people may have, liver, pancreatic,
sure,
as well.
Yeah.
And I think transplantation always has to be seen in that light of the sickness part, that people do walk with a lot of healthcare issues.
Exactly.
And there's a way that somehow we can help and alleviate those situations in people's lives.
And essentially, not only the gift of life, but the gift of a fuller life,
right,
of being more alive. It's not going for dialysis 3 days a week. It's being able to say, I can stand tall. I can begin to dream for a future because I have a longer life expectancy now.
Yeah, and I would put it in the context of, you know, there's a lot of times young families, you know, their parents might be going through dialysis, and their ability to care for their children, to be involved in their children's lives, is very limited in a variety of different,
right,
places. And I think it just gives them the greater sense of life and a fullness of life that they haven't had. I mean, like we said, that's what we preach all the time.
Yeah, we do. You know, and here is something that not only do we have to preach, but other people can do. And,
right,
and your brother did it for you as well as two other people.
Mm-hmm.
God bless them all.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's critically important.
I'm curious, you know, when we're talking about who can donate, being so sick, and how it all comes about, getting the right match. This really crosses all lines, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what color you are, what ethnicity you are, what religion you are. It's
gender.
More about gender.
Gender.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
That's right.
So am I correct that it just has to be physically a match, DNA, blood type, all of that? I mean, it seems like such a chance thing. You're waiting for just the right, I don't know, I don't even know what the words are, the right match. How is it all matched?
Yeah, many times they will have you on a, you are on a list, mm-hmm, and then when there's an organ that, when there's a potential organ donor, for example, the Gift of Hope will monitor the hospitals, mm-hmm, and when they find out that there's a potential donor, meaning the person will no longer be with us, but the organs are still usable, they will notify the person to go to a particular hospital, and that shortly thereafter, they will arrive with the second chance in life, the gift of life. And when that has happened, it's a win-win situation for all,
okay,
of us.
I guess I'm just asking, is it are parts that interchangeable? Could my heart go to anybody, or are there other factors involved?
Well, a lot of factors are involved. Probably the blood type,
okay,
and the size of the organ.
Okay.
I think those are two of the main ones. Maybe
tissue typing, certain proteins associated with blood or tissue.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's like six possible matches that they,
sure,
look for.
Right.
And the reason for a lot of people getting on dialysis is because of poor diet and lack of exercise. And that when you go to your doctor, they'll always tell you, get plenty of exercise, mm-hmm, and make,
right,
sure that your diet is proper.
So
or
live
lack
healthy.
Of monitoring their own, you know, hypertension or blood pressure.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
So if we can control all of those and all of these, it's a package deal. Everything sort of converges around this. But the key thing is to make sure that the gift can be offered and then the person is there to receive,
sure,
it.
Sure.
Every 12 minutes across this nation of ours, an individual is added to the organ and tissue donor list.
Wow.
And 18 people die every day while, mm-hmm, waiting for an organ.
Yeah.
And so it's important for us to encourage everyone to become a part of this wonderful organ and tissue donor program.
Yes.
Mr. Secretary, I a number of years ago, for some particular reasons, I became connected to a gentleman, and we've stayed in touch. He's pretty much living in a nursing home now, but he was the first liver recipient in the state of Illinois at Northwestern Hospital, I'll bet you 15, 18 years ago, when it was unheard of. And he said he was very, very sick. He was basically dying, and opened his eyes, and here was this doctor from Canada who's on staff at Northwestern with a little cooler standing at the end of his bed. And he said, I have a liver for you. Do you want it? Mm-hmm. And here he is 18 years later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he has been Exhibit A. This doctor is now the premier guy at Northwestern. Well, they used to drag my friend around as Exhibit A saying, see,
you know, it
can be done. And now he's suffered through all the rejection medicines, and he's surviving, and he's just this is a sense of gratitude for life, Ed, and it comes out in you as well. I've got life I'm not supposed to have.
Or second chances.
There you go. Yeah, we don't get a lot of second chances in this world.
Or third chances in
okay.
some cases.
We'll take a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll thank Mr. Secretary for being with us today, Jesse White, our newly reelected Secretary of State, the state of Illinois. Congratulations.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to The Light Show with our special guest, Mr. Jesse White, Illinois Secretary of State, and our good friend, Father Ed Panic from St. Thomas Becket Church, Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and thank you so much for being with us. We are the Catholic Church's outreach to people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single. And if you know other people that would benefit from listening to our show, if you know young adults that just should connect with our office to find out all sorts of exciting things, life-giving things, please put them in touch with us or put us in touch with them. You can reach us at any time through our website, yamchicago.org. Again, yamchicago.org, or just give us a call at 312-466-9473. Again, 312-466-9473.
Now, if you know anybody who would benefit from hearing the many things that Mr. Jesse White and Father Ed Panic have spoken to about this issue, as Kate has mentioned, this will be on our website at yamchicago.org, and it can be uploaded and pass it on to somebody, because knowledge is always better than myth. And there's a lot of gossip out there, and there's a lot of reality that can knock down gossip and turn it into truth. And hopefully, and this is the reason for our having this privileged moment of doing this today, is that the data is there. And it will be on the Archdiocesan website, it'll be on the Young Adult Ministry website, and hopefully this will propel many, many more people to be able to offer the gift of life to other people. Mr. Secretary, we're just thrilled that you're here.
Just glad to be here and to share some information to your listening audience. And I'd like to continue along that vein. There are 108,000 people on the National Donor Registry, meaning that there are 108,000 people who are awaiting the arrival of an organ. And then would you believe that 46,000 people are in dire need of corneas? They want the ability to see.
Yeah.
We enjoy seeing every day.
Right.
And can you imagine not having
the gift of sight?
The gift of sight.
Yeah.
And in closing, I want to thank your wonderful audience.
Oh, goodness.
For allowing me to serve for the next 4 years as your Secretary of State. I believe that when you take on a job, you should take on a responsibility that goes with it. I'm a former military man. I served in the military for 10 years to jump out of airplanes with the 101st Airborne Division. And you never jump out of an airplane, Father, and stop halfway. It's all the way.
That's right.
Okay.
And you also know, too, after serving 10 years, that when there's a mission before you, you see it from its beginning to its conclusion. There's no middle ground. There's no compromise.
Yeah.
And so that's how I run my life. And I'm proud of the fact that no longer will the people who come to one of my 138 facilities would have to bring their duffel bag, sleeping bag, or their lunch pail. Try to get them in and out as quickly as we possibly can,
sure.
And treat them in a highly professional way.
But not only do you run your life that way, you have created and built your office that way.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able for you to come to something like this and say, part of what I do is this owner, does the organ donor thing, and thank you for the gift of your time and the commitment of your life to building a better world and to giving people the gift of life.
Well, I believe, too, that every day you should do something good for someone.
That isn't that it? Imagine the world we live in, huh? Everybody gives back just once. Boom. That'd be terrific. We thank you so much for being here. And Vicki, we thank you for accompanying Mr. Secretary and setting this up. God bless you.
Thank you.
And it's a wonderful opportunity for all of us. Well,
thank you very much, Father Cusick.
Good.
Kate, Father Penny.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
Engaging Catholic youth within church life requires both determination and creativity. For the past 3 years, the Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry has been blessed to partner with the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Center for Chicago in providing evangelization events for youth.
Thanks to this partnership, Young Leaders of Chicago is making a big difference in the lives of thousands of youth. Since our last fundraiser, Young Leaders has touched over 1,500 youth with 30 rallies, service projects, and retreats.
Please support the Young Leaders of Chicago at their Invest in the Future fundraising breakfast this coming November 20th at Elmcrest Banquets, 7370 West Grand Avenue in Elmwood Park. Come join Father Michael Sparrow and Mark Nemo for an inspirational address, praise and worship, all in support of Young Adult Leaders of Chicago.
Tickets are $28 for adults and $16 for students. All proceeds go to the Vicariate for Youth Rally Fund. For more information, call Tom Howard at 312-534-8029. That's 312-534-8029.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
And we are back with the Light Show, Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and our good friend, Father Ed Panic, and we are continuing our conversation on organ donations and tissue donors and the call to share the gift of life.
The gift of life with other people.
Yeah.
While we were preparing for the show, and believe it or not, people, we do prepare. we have a wonderful email base of about over 6,000 people, and we asked through the genius of Kate DeVries, who knows technology far better than her aging boss does. We asked people for some comments about being a donor, and we've got some of those people who are with us today, and I think we might, do we have Dr. Francesco Vidri on the line? There we do.
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you.
And is that your beautiful child I hear in the background?
Yeah, actually, a few kids in the background.
That's wonderful. Sorry to keep you so long, but Mr. Secretary just had to leave right now. And Francesco, you said you came from Italy 3 years ago, and you had a wonderful story that when you went to City Hall, they asked you to sign up, and your response was, yes.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
No.
I'm on the street right now.
You mentioned to us that when you arrived from Italy, you went to the clerk at City Hall and
yes.
asked about organ donation, and they were surprised at your answer.
Yes, that I answered yes right away.
Okay. What do you think surprised them about that?
They were just, they thought that I didn't understand the question at first.
Okay, all right.
It must be an organ transplantation.
Sure.
It's a must for me.
It's a must for you. Now, being in the healthcare community, being a physician, you see it sort of firsthand from another whole point of view, correct?
That's the case. But I would like to eventually point out something that is, I think, the most important thing right now here in this country, because I come from a different, very different situation in Italy. I mentioned in my email about the different systems, so for which we are basically all agreeing on donate the organs after death, unless we to opt out. So we decide to do not. So that was a really big improvement in the rate of organ donation, and that was possible eventually only because the fact the people were informed about the organ donation.
Okay.
They knew that the problem that is eventually here is that I don't think there's enough information. And people have a lot of concerns that, like, they will be left died easily because they're donors or things like that. Even people who are well-educated. And I work at the University of Illinois Chicago, and I know people that think this. And it's unacceptable. Even in 2010, we're not
sure.
In a village anymore.
Well, the whole purpose of our focusing on this issue today is to bring about some education. Father Ed Panic, who was with us also this morning, is the recipient of three different kidneys. And so he's been very helpful to us in sharing. And the Secretary of State of our state has been with us this morning trying to knock down some of those myths so that in the healthcare community where you work, there's much more information and less ignorance.
Correct.
Sure, that's great.
And I bring that up in conversations with people all the time when they ask me, that you look so healthy and why don't you feel good this day? I often say, I've had three kidney transplants and this is part of my life history, and they're very surprised. And it's at those times that people begin to converse about the necessity of organ transplantation, about healthcare issues,
sure.
and the knowledge of all that.
There you go, and that's important. Francesco, we'll let you get back to your beautiful child. And continue to do some wonderful work, and we pray that the work you will do will continue to give life to the world. That's what we're all about in terms of our faith.
Thank you.
Okay. You be blessed.
Bye.
One of the other questions that came up a couple of times was people asking, what does the church say about this? What does the Catholic Church say about being an organ donor? And I just wanted to share what Pope John Paul II said in his address to the first International Congress of the Society of organ sharing. He gave this address in 1991. He described organ donation as, quote, a concrete gesture of human solidarity and a projection beyond death of the sort of self-giving love that society needs. And our current Pope when he was Cardinal Ratzinger in 1999, disclosed the fact that he himself is a registered organ donor. And he has said, quote, "To donate one's organs is an act of love that is morally licit," meaning legal, "as long as it is free and spontaneous." So isn't that exciting from the very top? Our Pope is an organ donor. I'm an organ donor.
There you go.
There you go.
You got one, you give one.
Absolutely.
That's right, because there's so much, as Mr. Secretary said earlier, there's so much we can give.
Absolutely.
You know, so you don't have the best of kidneys, but you got other stuff that's working pretty darn well.
Except for my corneas, maybe.
No. All right.
They're still working well. Okay.
And if we can, we're going to bring in somebody here who is very dear and special to us, Kim Barrio and her beloved husband, Jerry. And my God, we've been privileged, Kate, you and I, to know Kim and Jerry for a long time.
Yes, indeed.
And Kim, I know, are you with us right now?
Yes.
And this is sort of delicate. And I can't, first of all, thank you enough for what you're going to be sharing with us. Kim and Jerry are the proud parents of two children and their second child. May she rest in peace, was 17 months old, and she died and went to God. And Kim, first of all, I can't wrap my arms around you, but I can let you know that my heart is full.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and it's got to be so hard. Now, when your little one was discovered as no longer alive, you and Jerry did something pretty amazing, I think.
We were contacted by Gift of Hope, and they had asked us for permission if they could use her heart valves or her eyes and or both donate both for tissue donation.
Sure.
And we were contacted, and you can imagine my daughter died at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they called us at, you know, about 8 o'clock that night.
Wow.
So because of organ donation being like a matter of, you know, minutes and hours that to make the decision, it's a hard time to consider that.
Oh, my God. I mean, first of all, you have to be in utter, total, 100% shock.
Absolutely. And we're still in shock. It's been a month. It'll be a month on Friday that Mary Kate passed away. And we've been so lifted up and supported by our parish and our faith community. It's just amazing.
You know.
But our decision at that moment, and we had some time to talk about it and call them back. It's not like you had to make a decision right there. Was based on the fact that, you know, they're at that moment, in the shock of everything, we just didn't. We said, "Okay, this is God coming to us and saying, maybe there's a way that there is some redemption in this suffering."
Absolutely, you know.
And I believe sincerely that it was a message from God to say, you know, at the hardest moment of my whole life and my husband's whole life, the you know, hours after our daughter had died, and it was very unexpected. To make this decision was heart wrenching, but it was something that we felt strongly, that why deprive another child of the opportunity to see, or another child the opportunity to have new heart valves in our grief?
Exactly.
It sounded like, it's not like you're, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to describe what your thought process is at the time. I don't even know. I think it was really grace that helped us through the moments and has still helping us, but.
Well, Kim, I have a sneaking suspicion, too, that an awful lot of it is the great faith that you and Jerry have. You know that you are very committed to the faith, and you're very committed to God's world. And in the midst of, you said, the most difficult day in your life, you can rise above the unbelievable pain of letting go of something you birthed and be able to say, how do we now give life? Amazing.
And it was just, it was the one thing that, in that moment, I know that maybe people don't understand this. There is some beauty in the midst of pain. It sounds strange, but even the funeral liturgy was very beautiful. and their beauty, and there's and it's Mary Kate's life that has gone on to
exactly
to enrich us and to give us comfort in our sorrow. But also, there are people who said they came up to me at the wake and said, "I do not pray, but I will pray for you."
Wow! Mm-hmm. Wow!
I mean, there's ways in which our lives can impact others beyond this world into the world of eternal life.
Well,
it sounds strange, but that's kind of a part of it.
Oh, it is, and I think, Kim, it's that call to witness. You know, that's the idea of being a disciple. You know, we model or we witness our Lord. And you and Jerry, under the most difficult of circumstances, were called to witness. And who prompted you to do that? The littlest of human beings. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, somebody who never spoke a word, you know, didn't run around, but prompted her mom and dad to do something significant in the name of Jesus for other people. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's living the Paschal mystery.
It is.
Being raised up.
Yeah. You know, it's death and resurrection. You know, and to be able to say that, Kim, in the midst of the pain of death, your hope to be resurrection for other people is just, I'm almost speechless today, and you know me, I never run out of words. But I feel for you. As I mentioned, and I dropped your little email yesterday, that since our mutual friend Donna Shioda mentioned it to me, I just wept for you because you're such wonderful parents.
And we met through Young Adult Ministry at Old St. Pat's.
There you go. Yeah. How about that, huh?
Yeah.
So there's something good we do out there, huh?
Yeah.
How
absolutely.
About that? Yeah, and that's
how we come to this day, you know?
Yes, you know.
From our paths crossing so many times in so many ways.
Right. You know, but as Father Panic is mentioning here, he's a recipient of a kidney, and somebody else gave him the gift of life. And, you know, you made that decision for other people. And, yeah, we've come through a lot together. We've come through the joys and the sadnesses, but that's the Christian story. It's not all rah-rah, mm-hmm. you know. It's in the midst of our suffering that we also continue to look for life. And what a gift that you and Jerry have, and precious little Mary Kate.
I think one of the things that for people who are recipients, and even I think sometimes donors, is that there's a great sense of gratitude and joy that comes from that. I know when, for myself, when I had to bid farewell to my brother before he went for surgery, you know, he has to go first so they can take the organ out. You know, I hugged and kissed him, and I just was filled with this great sense of profound love, love from a brother or a family member, but also love from God that, you know, this is a special occasion, that, you know, that this isn't just, you know, an accident. This is something that is a meaningful part of life, and that you feel God's presence in a very profound way. That I ran back crying in my room like a little kid, just full of this yeah. great sense of this presence. This is all a gift from God, you know.
Yeah.
And it intersects your past life and your present life and your future life. That this is all a great gift.
Yeah.
And you're filled with gratitude.
Overwhelming. I'm sure gratitude. It's got to be overwhelming gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I'm sure, you know, Kim, in the midst of all your pain, you know, that you're grateful for your little girl.
I am grateful for the gift of her life.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, it seems to me kind of like a little piece of that eternal life, like kind of a hint of it, you know, like mm-hmm. a hint of heaven that we know somewhere.
Right, right. As somebody, Kim, once said to me, you know, eternal life does not begin when we die. We are living our eternal life right now. That's what it means to live in God and to live in the Lord Jesus. And so your little girl didn't have to wait too long for the fullness of eternal life, but we are all living within that mystery, mm-hmm. that life is stronger than death and anything that gets in our way, that we are called to be raised up.
No, by virtue of baptism.
Right.
You know, we are bounded to Christ.
Exactly. You know.
It's the where is thy sting of death and where right. is your victory, death? Because in this way, you know, belief in the resurrection is what has really moved Jerry and I forward in our grief.
Yeah.
I don't think, I honestly, there is nothing greater than the love of God in our lives right now.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, what a fitting way to talk about that in the midst of November when we remember, you know, all the people
who have gone before us. Kim, until I get a chance, you're going to get a over-the-air hug.
Oh.
And, you know, it's possible.
When we get the chance, you know, I always love to give a big, big hug to you and Jerry and, and your firstborn. And know that you are loved and know that what you have done is given witness and inspiration to so many of us who know you. And many don't even know you, but... You've come on the air today and in a very difficult time, and I'm grateful to you. God bless you all.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you very much. Wow.
Yeah, powerful story.
Yeah, it really is. And we like, before we put the cork in the bottle today, Father Panic, we've got a gentleman, David West. I believe you're on the line?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good, David. Thank you so much. You were one of the people who responded to us when we put out a little email about organ donation. And you mentioned that you have been an organ donor since you were 17.
That's correct.
I think that's absolutely amazing. What prompted you?
Well, the way that I always saw it was, first, when I die, I don't really need it.
very good practical. Point.
Yeah.
You know, I'm dead, and other people can use them.
There you go.
Can put them to better use than I can.
Right.
You know, at the same time that when I first became an organ donor, it was actually the same time that I enlisted in the Marine Corps.
Wow, okay.
And, you know, we were given the option of that within our enlistment, and I really felt it was an important thing for me, actually, because I'm not going to need my organs. I'm not going to need those things, and it can, ultimately, it can, you know, save someone else's life.
Sure.
The way I've always seen it, I've always considered myself as a pro-life person, and I look at that not as some people see it, as a being against things, but being for, you know, protecting and preserving life in all ways.
I mean,
that's one of the reasons I joined the Marine Corps.
Sure.
And I saw this as just another way of fulfilling that. So
you have a very simple but profound sentence, at least profound to me, in the wonderful email you sent us. You simply said, "I have a duty to preserve life." And now that's a Marine statement if I've never heard of it, you know. But it's also a Catholic statement and a human statement. I have a duty. I am bound to do this. This is not optional.
I completely believe that with every part of who I am. I always have. It's a part of all that I do. I can't, you know. I live as a, you know, I was a Marine for 7.5 years.
Wow.
But, you know, I'm a Marine forever, and
exactly.
I'm a Catholic forever, and it's a part of, and those things are completely complementary with each other, and the roles of them in my life are complementary. You know, I don't think that one would have happened without the other. Yeah. I think that my belief and understanding of the need to preserve life was such that it drove me in that direction in the
first
place.
There you go. Sure. And so you answered the call a variety of ways, and one of them is Semper Fi.
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi.
Yeah.
It's a good day for it. It's our birthday.
It is. Yeah, today's your birthday. And
235 years.
And tomorrow we commemorate all the amazing women and men who are veterans in our country. And so it's an appropriate way for us to end today by saying, let me thank you for your service, and not only to country, but to God and to your fellow human being.
Happy to serve.
Be blessed.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, our friend Father Ed Panic, and Secretary of State Jesse White. We are delighted to be with you. More can be found on our website, yamchicago.org, and to donate, simply go to lifegoeson.com. We'll see you next month. Thank you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.
Give us, O Lord, we pray. In your spirit.